And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, and men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our guest today is very well known around Australia as a strong voice for men and some of the things most important to men. She holds formal qualifications of a Bachelor of Science and a Master of Psychology, and we last had her on the program in 2010 when we were talking about her book, What Men Want in Bed. But Tina Arndt, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bill.
So, Tina, you started writing about the DV, the domestic violence industry, in 2015. Do you see it as an industry?
Oh, I think there's no question it's an industry. It's a very powerful group of organisations all bent on presenting a particular view of domestic violence and really distorting what is a very important social issue.
And I suppose there are some individuals that seem to do fairly well out of it. I guess I'm thinking of Rosie Batty, who's sort of turned it into a career these days.
Yeah, look, there's quite a few people who've turned it into a career, which is one of the problems. I mean, there's a lot of people who have enormous vested interest in promoting this particular view of domestic violence. That's their job. It's their livelihood. There are an enormous number of Femocrats around the country who are being supported by this industry, and they're determined to hang on to it.
And yet there seems to be a lot of misinformation. Sometimes it's said that domestic violence against women goes up when there's a football grand final day, and one you've commented on was an editor saying that it was the leading cause of death or illness for adult women in Victoria, which is an extraordinary statement.
Oh, that's used very often, and it actually came from a Victorian health study, which has since then, and the people involved in that study now no longer support the way the data's been interpreted. They've retreated from that interpretation, and this particular statistic is constantly used on the ABC. It's used by politicians. It's used by bureaucrats. And, you know, we have some very hardworking organisations who are attempting to tell the truth about domestic violence. The One in Three campaign is a very obvious example of that. And they work hard to correct the misinformation that's out there, and they get totally ignored. It's just extraordinary.
So it isn't, in fact, in the top three or...
No, it doesn't even rate the top 10 last time I looked. You know, it's just not up there at all as a major cause of death of women compared to, you know, all the other things I had, obvious things like heart conditions and so on. We live in a very peaceful society, thank goodness. Mm. Only a tiny number of women in Australia are being physically abused by their partners. I worked really hard. This big article I just produced a few months ago took me months and months and months of digging to get the proper statistics together and to get the Bureau of Statistics, for instance, to admit that only 1.06% of Australian women experience physical violence with their partners. Now, we never hear that statistic because what we hear are statistics that are inflated by all sorts of other aspects of violence, if you like emotional abuse, financial abuse, psychological abuse, a lot of things that many people would not normally think of as being associated with physical violence, with domestic violence. And yet, of course, there is this industry, as I've said, that is absolutely determined to inflate the figures, to promote the idea that we're suffering from an epidemic of violence, and to beat up this whole problem, to present it as far more severe than it actually is. I'm not saying that domestic violence isn't a serious problem. Of course it is. And, of course, it's terribly important we address the issue of women who are living in fear of physical abuse. In order to address that problem properly, we have to tell the truth and we have to acknowledge who is at risk. And it's not across Australia. There are, for instance, in New South Wales, there are parts of New South Wales, Dubbo, you know, some of the sort of rural areas, which have 60 times the level of domestic violence than is occurring in some of the more affluent suburbs of Sydney. And yet you'll find these lobby groups are constantly saying it's across the board. The politicians will always tell you it's everywhere. they're telling you that this phrase that we're suffering from an epidemic of violence is used again and again and again. And it's simply not true. I got Don Weatherburn, who's the extremely well-respected director of New South Wales Bureau of Crime Statistics and Research, to give me a quote from my article saying there is no epidemic. All the research shows that the good research, the real statistics, show that domestic violence is decreasing in Australia, not increasing, physical violence. His own data from his bureau shows an 11% drop in serious assault charges over the last 10 years or so. What you do see is an inflation in the number of police reports, which are being very much driven by a whole range of other factors, such as accusations of violence being used as a tactic in divorce cases. And in order to do that, you have to report to the police to get an AVO in place, and constant inflation of the definition of violence. So, I mean, in Western Australia, for instance, they dramatically increased the incidence of police reports after they expanded the definition of violence when it came to making police reports to include emotional abuse and psychological abuse and all sorts of other things that I think most people would not regard as what we think of as domestic violence.
And yet the stereotype still comes back to that one man beating up one woman and causing this damage, which is not really an accurate portrayal of what we're talking about, is it?
I mean, obviously that, as I will always say, that is a serious issue when a man is terrorising his wife. And, you know, that idea of the patriarchal terrorist, as they call it, where a man is controlling his family through threat of violence and through physical violence, I mean, that's a real issue, but it's a tiny part of the overall problem, and it's actually not the most common cause of domestic violence. The research is very clear that most domestic violence is, in fact, two-way violence. Women are just as much involved in the physical violence that's taking place in Australian homes. We have over 40 years of international research, 1,700 peer-reviewed studies that show that the most violence is couple violence in the home, where the women are participating and often initiating the violence as often as the, in fact, more often, very often than the men. And that we have good Australian research supporting that as well. That is never mentioned in the debates on domestic violence. That is never mentioned on Four Corners when they do these constant beat-ups, just simply portraying that tiny section of violent families where it is just the man abusing the woman. They never talk about this two-way street, which is the most serious violence because, in fact, that is what most children in violent homes are actually witnessing. Luckily, very few children grow up simply seeing their dad having a go at their mum. A lot of children, perhaps one in four, are witnessing, you know, their mum and dad having a go at each other. And that is what's having impact on kids. That is what is creating this cycle of violence that teaches children to be violent themselves, that teaches children they don't not to be able to handle conflict in other ways. And that is what we need to address. And we cannot do that while the whole country is in the grip of this distorting propaganda misrepresenting this important social issue.
Yes, it makes you wonder what a Martian would think if he came to Earth and saw it.
It is quite extraordinary. In my article, I talk about this Swedish politician. Her name is Eva Solberg, and she's a proud feminist, and she's a chairwoman of a major political party called Moderate Women, and she was presented with her country's latest strategy for combating domestic violence. And as always, as is true in Sweden, as it is true in Australia and many other countries, the strategy said that it's all about teaching misogynist boys and men to behave themselves. That's the strategy, that we have to change men's behaviour. And she just spat the dummy. She wrote a really important article in a local magazine saying that, you know, we have all this research. She talked about the research I've just mentioned, those 1,700 peer-reviewed studies. And she says the evidence is really clear that attempts to solve the issue through that kind of analysis have failed. And they have failed because domestic violence is not a gender issue. I thought it was really interesting to have her speaking out in that way. But, of course, we won't. You know, that's the sort of thing that never gets reported in Australia. And I'm just gobsmacked at all our politicians lining up to fall into the party line on this issue. Malcolm Turnbull's first act as Prime Minister was to announce a huge increase in domestic violence funding, and he talks constantly about this gendered analysis, where men are the only perpetrators, where it's all about changing men's behaviour. And, I mean, Malcolm is an intelligent man. I mean, what has got into these people?
We're speaking today with Bettina Arndt on what's been called an epidemic of domestic violence, which we might beg to differ on. So, Bettina, we were just talking about this perception, and I heard Jimmy Barnes talking about his book recently, and he saw a bit of domestic violence growing up. He advocated getting boys as young as 2 and reprogramming them about domestic violence. It gives you the horrors, doesn't it?
Well, it's exactly what's happening. We have white ribbon. I mean, look, at its heart, of course, it's got a serious and important goal in teaching men who are responsible for domestic violence to, you know, to rethink their behaviour, and teaching other men to, you know, to talk about this issue and so on. I mean, it started off from a good place, but it's been absolutely now part of this whole domestic violence industry, which is determined not to address the broader problem that we've been talking about. They will never acknowledge the fact that women are involved in violence as well. And they are in schools. I keep being contacted by mothers and fathers, but particularly by mothers talking about their kids in school who are really offended by the fact the school programs run by White Ribbon are all about little boys behaving themselves. One woman rang me up saying that, you know, her daughter was in that class and she was quite happy to talk about, you know, kids being nicer to each other, and she expected to be part of that pledge they had to make to learn to deal with conflict in other ways, and only the boys were required to stand up. She didn't think that was fair at all, because she knew that girls were right in there in the playground, often misbehaving in various ways, including physically. I just find it so hard to understand why this is happening and why more people aren't speaking out about it. I know it's really scary for people to say, come on, you know, this is not right, because they get howled down. But we really need men and women to start speaking out about this and to start challenging the politicians and to ring into the radio programs and say, you are not telling the truth about domestic violence, and to write to newspapers and to get involved in changing this debate.
Yes, as long as it doesn't ring true from people's own experiences, you can't expect it to make progress. But it seems that...
But you know, what's amazing, Bill, is, I mean, I talk all the time to people about this, and the number of people who say, oh, yeah, my mother was violent, or I know someone who grew up with a sister who was really aggressive, or, I mean, I have stories coming out of my ears from ordinary people who know that women are violent too. We know it. It is out there in the community that it's not a one-way street, and we've got to start talking more openly about that.
Well, you mentioned Malcolm Turnbull and some other politicians, Daniel Andrews in Victoria is a prime example, but sometimes men seem to be their own worst enemy. I mean, on days like White Ribbon Day, they seem all very keen to put themselves down.
They do, and that is part of the problem it's become. Look, men are too nervous to say women are violent too, because inevitably it leads to a lot of attacks on them if they start getting involved in this debate. They're seen as misogynist to even suggest that the problem could be a two-way problem. The men who are victims of violence are in a really, really dangerous situation. I know a young man who recently married. He's a very big bloke. He's 6'4", and his wife is really aggressive and throws things at him and hits him and attacks him in all sorts of ways. And I have given him very strict instructions that if she does it again, he's to turn on the video in his camera, to film her, to get out of the room as quickly as he can. I'm really nervous that if anything happens, even if he tries to control her when she's hitting him, she can call the police and he'll be the one who's arrested. I mean, that's what's tragic, is the police, the authorities are not believing men who are actually victims of violence. And men know that the risk is that they will be the ones who will be convicted of domestic abuse if there's any conflict between men and women as to what actually happened.
Yes, I've always understood to use what you've got available. So if you're 6'4" and big, you'll probably just tend to use your own hands. But if you're a smaller female, you might use scissors or knives or screwdrivers or who knows what. and absolutely. Do even more damage.
And that's where, if you look at the injury figures, if you look at who's turning up in our emergency wards, there are an awful lot of men who are physically abused and who turn up with major injuries. And everybody knows that we have reports from those emergency wards all showing, you know, that to be the case. And we have royal commissions which totally ignore that sort of data. Mm. It's just gobsmacking. Really good experts went for the Victorian Commission into Domestic Violence and talked about the truth about domestic violence, talked about the fact that domestic violence is actually linked very strongly to alcohol and drug abuse. Mm. I mean, it's not across the board. It's in certain suburbs rather than others. The fact that it's a much more complex picture than is commonly presented. And their evidence was totally ignored. The Victorian Commission recommendations are all based on this tired gender analysis that Eva Solberg was talking about. It's all propaganda and it's gobsmacking.
And we're speaking with Bettina Arndt, and quite obviously a woman talking about this topic. What drove you to be a campaigner for men in this situation?
Oh, I've been listening to men for an awfully long time. I started listening to men back in my sex therapy days, which I got involved in sex therapy trying to help women. And inevitably, one of the things that happened is men started to talk to me all the time, not only about their sex lives, but then also about all the other issues that were causing strife in their lives, divorce. I spent years and years and years writing about what's happening in our family courts, and that is still a major issue, the fact that there are aspects of the way the courts are conducted which are so unfair to men, and in some ways becoming worse rather than better. The use of AVOs and use of false accusations of child sexual abuse in divorce cases. So that's sort of how I gradually got sucked in. More recently, I just know a lot of people personally who've got caught up in this sort of case. And just watching what is happening to men in regard to this industry. And I have two sons. I don't want them growing up in a world where men aren't given a fair go. I have a daughter who's very capable of looking after herself, and she's a very strong, impressive woman. And my sons are great too, but the world is really being stacked against them, and I don't think that's fair.
What do you think is the ultimate aim of these people who say domestic violence is due to men being innately evil and violent and all the rest of it?
There's a woman called Erin Pizzi, who you may have heard of, famous. She was a woman in Britain who started up the first refuge. And interesting history, because she actually had a violent mother, a very aggressive mother, so she knew something about the complexities of this problem. Her father was violent too, but her mother was worse. She starts up this refuge for women to help them. She was all part of the early women's movement. And one of the things she found was a lot of the women coming to the refuge were being violent towards other women in the refuge and towards their kids and so on. And she started to speak out about this, and boy, did she get into trouble from the feminist movement. She actually had death threats. Her dog was killed. She had to leave Britain at one point because it became so dangerous for her. What she says, watching what was happening, this is back in the 1970s, she said there was a very deliberate effort by the feminist movement to latch on to domestic violence when they found they were losing support after the initial flush of enthusiasm for the women's movement, when everyone got excited about it, they were getting lots of money and so on. You know, they went a little bit astray. Some of the extremists really blotted the copybooks a bit, and ordinary women started to turn off. Erin says that they latched on to domestic violence because it's the one issue no one can challenge. It's the apple pie issue. It's the issue that everybody will acknowledge is a serious problem. No one dares suggest it's not something we should all be concerned about. And the money started pouring in. And Pizzi says it's a huge cash cow that is supporting feminist bureaucrats across the world, and they're not going to let go of it. And they've been extraordinarily effective.
If you can acknowledge the coverage in the newspapers that young women seem to be becoming more violent, if anything.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the research has shown that. The latest ABS stats show that there's increasing numbers of men who are victims of domestic violence, and yet they're very, very reluctant to admit to it, for good reason. I mean, I just find it so appalling listening to the stories of men who've been in that situation, being attacked by a woman, and the treatment they get sometimes from the police. Malcolm Turnbull, both we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on domestic violence. Most of those services are not open to men. If men go and knock on the door and say, I need help, they don't get it. There was a fantastic program on Life Matters, you know, the Radio National program, which was one of the very first ABC programs to address some of these complexities we've been talking about. And this is just a couple of months ago. And they had a wonderful woman who talked about her own history of violence and how she'd grown up in a violent family and she found herself physically attacking her partners. She went along to various domestic violence organisations and was laughed at when she said she wanted help for her own violence. And she's scathing about the way this issue is being misrepresented. And then they also had a lovely man who was in a relationship, and I can't remember whether he was married or not, with a woman who was violent, and he clearly still loved his partner, and was just talking about how, you know, fearful he was when she has one of her rants, when she starts attacking him, and he didn't want his children exposed to that, and he wished there was somewhere he could take the kids just until she calmed down. I mean, he's clearly hopeful that they'll work through all of this, but there was nowhere for him to go with his kids when he's being subject to that sort of attack. And that is just appalling.
So what would you say is the message we want to get out?
The message we have to get out is we have to change this debate. People have to get active. They have to start having campaigns to stop what is going on in this country and the misrepresentation of this, as I keep saying, this critical social issue, so that the money goes to addressing it properly. The money goes to addressing the real causes of domestic violence, which is one of the things I'm going to write about. I'm now doing a whole series in The Australian on domestic violence over the next year or so, to really try to get some of the proper information out there. But we need everybody to be having a go at the media, look, having a go at Fairfax and the ABC and the real culprits who are not deliberately promoting propaganda and misinformation rather than looking at the real issues and looking at the real statistics here. I mean, it's not good enough to just let this happen. People need to start talking to politicians about what is going on. I was very interested to see many of the crossbenchers, like David Lionhelm is interested to start raising questions in Parliament, to talk at the Senate Estimates Committee about where the money is going and where it should be going. I think we have to lean on politicians to start addressing this issue properly. And there's a lot ordinary people can do, and it's just not good enough to let this our whole country fall victim to this propaganda campaign.
Well, we're speaking with Bettina Arndt, and Tina, get to this stage of the program, we ask our guests to pick some music for us. Would you like to tell us what you want us to play?
This is a piece of music which actually features my partner, who's a double bass player, Ian Esplin, along with... you have the details there,
yep.
Bill.
I've got Graham Jackson on tenor sax and Dorian Mode on keyboard, not to be forgotten.
A very good friend of Ian's, and they've all been playing together for a long time, and they play on the Central Coast in various combinations, different jazz bands they all play with, and I thought maybe we needed some nice peaceful music after talking about this, what is really a very worrying topic.
And that was Misty, played by the Central Coast Jazz Group, including Ian Esplin on double bass. So it just remains for me now to thank our special guest, Bettina Arndt. Thank you very much for being on the program.
It's a pleasure, Bill.
And don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.